Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Also, this being Sunday, we'd like to remind you of Bible Crossfire. This is a live 30-minute call-in radio program, and it's conducted each Sunday evening at 8 o'clock on this radio station, WBSA, both AM and FM. It's an opportunity that if you have a Bible question, you can use the number that will be given to you. You can call that number and speak directly with Patrick Donahue, give him your Bible question, and expect in return to receive only a Bible answer for it. So keep this in mind this evening at 8 o'clock on this radio station. And if you happen to be out of the area for picking up WBSA and you have satellite radio, you can also listen to the program as well as still call in to the program by listening to Sirius XM Channel 131. Also, today we'll begin a series of gospel meetings with Bobby Graham doing the speaking. Only a gospel meeting is simply a time to come together to hear God's word proclaimed. And that's what this is all about. The East Albertville Church of Christ is conducting this week-long series of gospel meetings. The times for today will be the usual times of 9:30 this morning and also 5 this afternoon. And also from Monday through Friday, the time for coming together will be at 7 p.m. This is an invitation that we extend to you cordially, that you will come, bring your Bibles, and intend to study only God's Word together. It's an opportunity for you to meet us. It's an opportunity for us to meet you. And certainly we will look forward to that opportunity. Let us ask the question, can we all see the Bible alike? I would dare say that if you were to ask this question to the majority of people, if not all of the people, most likely the answer that you would get is no. No, we cannot all see the Bible alike. If that's the true answer to that question, then why did Moses say in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of the law." Why did Moses say that, if indeed we can't see the Bible alike? And two, why did David make the statement? We find in Psalms 119, beginning with verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How is it that we can get understanding if it is that we cannot understand the Bible? And if we can't understand the Bible, which is the reason why we have so much religious confusion and religious division, then why is it that Moses said it is through the precepts of God that we can yet understand it? You know, even Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 4, "Every valley should be exalted and every mountain and hill should be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." 2, Christ made this statement in Matthew 11, beginning with verse 25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight.'" Friends, we know that secret things belong to the Lord. They've not been revealed. They've not been written in the Scriptures. But the Scriptures that we have, the Scriptures that are written so that we may know and we may do and that we may understand all of what God would have us to do. If things are hidden, if things cannot be understood that are revealed in God's Word, then maybe we're like those that Christ describes here in Matthew 11. Maybe we are of those who are wise and prudent, and we need rather to humble ourselves to babes, or as Jesus so often said of little children, "Except you be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." Maybe if we are failing to understand and failing to understand the Bible alike, maybe that's where we are. We're among the wise and the prudent, and we need to humble ourselves, because certainly God has revealed to those of us that are willing to humble ourselves and accept his word for what he says. The Apostle Paul makes this statement in Romans 10. He said in verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What is it that the word of God teaches? The word of God teaches in Ephesians 4 and verse 5, not only that there is one Lord, but there is one faith and one baptism. But friends, we look out into the world around us and we see many, multiple faiths. The faith that we read about in the Bible is a singular word, F-A-I-T-H. The way we often so hear the word used today is F-A-I-T-H-S. Friends, let's understand that God, through his word, has revealed truth. And if we will accept and do only that truth that God has revealed, then there will only be one faith. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 10, Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, question is this a plea that is absolutely impossible to achieve? Again, to most people, the answer to that is yes. It's impossible to achieve what Paul is urging to be done here in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. It's no more an impossible plea than what Jesus prayed to the Father in hopes of. In John 17, it is in verse 20 that Jesus said, "I do not pray for these alone," these alone referring to the apostles, "but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." So what we're saying is, when we make the statement that no, we cannot see the Bible alive, we are saying that this plea for unity that Jesus prayed for and that Paul urged upon the church at Corinth is an impossible thing to be. It's an impossible thing to accomplish. But also, as we consider this, we need to understand that, yes, the Bible is misunderstood, and yes, we do not see the Bible alive. That is reality. But we need to understand why it is a reality. Why is it that we don't see the Bible alike? Why is it that we can't understand the Bible? Well, it could be for a number of reasons. First of all, it could be because we've been blinded. We can understand the Bible alike if we are not blinded. And who blinds us, or what blinds us? Well, Satan, for one, blinds us. We read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who is the God of this world that is being referred to in these verses? Who is the God of this world that has blinded the minds of them that believe not? Well, truly, the God of this world is Satan. So it could very well be the reason that many people don't see the Bible, don't understand the Bible alike, is because of the work of Satan in their hearts. Satan has blinded them to the truth, has blinded them from the gospel. Then, too, just having been taught error, something that the scriptures do not teach, and being taught that, whether it's been taught that from a child, whether it's been something that's been handed down from generation to generation, but yet it is something that is contrary to what the scriptures teach. If that is in our hearts and in our minds, that, too, can blind us. Notice 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 10, it says that with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who received not the love of the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So we see then that error can be the cause of our being blind. Being told a lie concerning what the Bible teaches when the fact of the matter is the Bible does not teach that, but just simply accepting it on the basis of, well, we trust the person that is telling us these things. Well, we need to trust what the Scripture says and not put our trust in men. We need to trust what the Scripture says and not put our trust in ourselves. Another statement along this line we read by Jesus in Matthew 13 and verse 15. Jesus quotes from Isaiah, who is describing the people of his day, and Jesus is using this quote from Isaiah to likewise describe the people of his day. He says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them." So again, we see that the reason for being blinded is the fact that our hearts are not what they ought to be. Remember, we talked about in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says that with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. So it is that our hearts can, as Jesus said, be waxed gross, and we do not have that love of the truth. So our ears become dull of hearing, our eyes we close. And this prevents us from seeing with our eyes and hearing with our ears and being able to understand with our hearts. So, friends, we need to examine ourselves honestly and see if we have a love for the truth. And the best way to do that is to find those things in God's Word that God commands of us, that God requires of us, and examine and put ourselves to the test, am I doing those things? And those things that God has commanded me to do, am I doing those things? Or in the things that God is saying that these are things that I ought not to do, am I eliminating and have eliminated those things from my life? See, there's the test. God's Word is the textbook. God's Word is that which we're going to be judged by in that great and final day of judgment. So the test of whether or not we love the truth, for after all, God's Word is truth, John 17:17, then do we do what God says for us to do? Do we not do the things that God says for us not to do? But two, we can be blinded by even our own ego, ourself. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 25, it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So many people put on the basis of the right or wrong of things in their lives dependent upon how they feel. If they feel it's okay, then it's okay, it's right. If they feel it's not okay, then it's not right. But again, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man is not the authority. Man is not the source of determination of right and wrong. It's in Romans 10 and verse 3 that Paul said his heart's desire and prayer to God was for Israel, that they might be saved. For he said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, we may have a zeal for God, just like Israel did that Paul is talking about here. But we need to make sure that our zeal for God is according to knowledge. And that was the mistake that Israel made. Yes, they had a zeal for God, but that zeal outran the knowledge that they had for God. And what happens when we do not have proper knowledge of what God's will for us is exactly, we'll do exactly what Israel did. Again, Romans 10, verse 3, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Friends, that's the tendency of mankind if we're not careful. That's the tendency that you and I have if we're not careful. If we choose to either not know God's Word, or if we choose to just ignore God's Word, then what we're going to do is we're going to set about establishing our own standard. We are going to be the ones to be the determining factor of what's right and what's wrong. That's what Israel did, and mankind's nature has not changed. You know, we talk about the great technological society that we live in, how that we're so highly educated. But let me tell you, man's basic nature is the same. Man tends to not want to submit. Man tends not to want to acknowledge, because of his ego, someone that knows more than he does. But God does. God knows more than we do. God is our creator. And by virtue of creation, he knows more than you and I know. So just like Jeremiah said, there may be a way that seems right to me, but chances are that's not the right way. That's the way that will lead unto death. Chances are I may be ignorant of God's righteousness, of what God wants done. I may choose to completely remain ignorant in the sense that I don't study his word, and therefore I'm ignorant in that sense. Or it could be that I know what God's word is, but I just choose to put it out of my mind, out of my life. Just as surely as I do that, I will go about to establish my own righteousness. What I need to do is something that is somewhat contrary to the nature of mankind. I need to submit. That's what Romans 10 and verse 3 says. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Our ego, our sense of pride, our sense of self-worth is something that we're going to have to overcome, put into its place, to the point where we are willing to submit to the righteousness of God. We can understand and see the Bible alike if we are not following the traditions of men. You know, that was the thing that Jesus constantly seemingly confronted when he lived and walked upon this earth. The Pharisees were notorious for elevating the traditions of men to be either on equal par, if not even above, God's law, God's word. But yet, Jesus rebuked that. He said in Matthew 15 and verse 13, he said that when we teach for doctrines the commandments of men, we render our worship vain. It doesn't matter how much zeal, how much we are truly believing that we are worshiping God. If we're not following God's commandments, if we're teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, our worship is vain. True, when it comes to stressing in our lives and not being willing to change from the things that our relatives teach us. You know, I don't doubt the sincerity of our mom and dad and grandparents and aunts and uncles. But again, they're not the standard. They're not going to be the ones that are going to be sitting in the judgment seat in the judgment day judging us. God is. And therefore, I need to do what 2 Timothy 3:15 says. I need to be diligent to show myself approved unto God. Sure, I want to show myself approved unto my mother and dad. Sure, I want to show myself approved unto my aunts and uncles. But above them, there's someone else that I need to be more concerned with showing myself approved unto, and that's God. So again, it's back to God's word. It's God who becomes the standard. It's his word that is the bottom line when it comes to truth. God's word is truth. And you know, there are things in the scriptures that we can understand, that we can see the Bible alike on. We can understand the story of the ark, how God commanded Noah to build the ark out of gopher wood, how that the length of the ark was to be 300 cubits, the width of it was to be 50, and the height of it was to be 30. We can understand there was to be only one door, one window, and that there were to be three stories in the ark. All we got to do is go to Genesis 6 and read that. Well, if we can understand that, why can't we, when we go to Mark 16:16, believe and understand that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Or why can't we believe when we go to Acts 2:38 and read Peter saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Why can't we understand that? We can understand Noah. Why can't we understand Jesus? Why can't we understand Peter? And then, too, another factor that enters in, no doubt, to why we cannot and do not see the Bible alike is that we insert our opinion far too many times. Again, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or as the American Standard Version says, handling aright the word of truth. That's what truth is, not what I think, not what I've always believed, not what I've always done. That's not truth. Truth is what the Bible says. Truth is when I rightly divide God's Word. I understand that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And the Old Testament does not apply to me in the sense that it is to be the law that I live by. But I'm to live in the New Testament under the law of Christ. To understand that division is just a part of rightly dividing. To make sure that when I look at a verse of Scripture, I keep that verse in context. I don't lift it out of the context and make it apply to something that is even not closely resembling what is under consideration. We know what trouble we get into when we take something that somebody says out of context and we can make it apply to something that they did not intend or even have in mind, and that's what sometimes people do with the Scriptures. Or just to think that there's just one verse of Scripture in all of the Bible that tells us everything that we need to do in order to be a Christian. Friends, if there's only one verse in the Bible that tells us everything that we need to know and everything we need to do, then why do we have Matthew through Revelations? Why don't we just have that one verse? See, we need to understand that we need to realize and study and make sure that we know all of what is said on any particular Bible subject, whether it's the subject of salvation, whether it's the subject of the church, or whatever that subject is. We need to search the Scriptures, rightly divide the truth, and only come to our conclusions when we have seen all of what the Bible says on that subject. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Oracles is words. So that's what we attempt to do on this radio program each and every time we come to you. We attempt to speak as the oracles of God. That's why we say in the very beginning that we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program, because we are going to attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. And if we have it, if we don't, then you have the means by which you can contact us and tell us wherein we have departed from the Scriptures. John 7 and verse 17. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And friends, the only way we can know when we put words to the test is whether or not they are the words of God, because God's word is truth, John 17, 17. And we're commanded in 1 John 3 to search, not search the Scriptures, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. So then, let us do just that. And I think I said 1 John 3. I believe it's actually 1 John chapter 4, if I'm not mistaken, that John says, search to test the spirits, whether they be of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Let me again remind you of the program this evening at 8 o'clock, Bible Crossfire, and also remind you of the gospel meeting that begins today with the East Albertville Church of Christ that will go through Friday evening each weeknight at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.